I think someone else should bring us in today. I don't have it in me.
You know I'm making that the opening, right? Just so you know, you still did the
intro. I know more than you know about the brutal dudes. All right.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal dudes.
We have a special guest today. Please introduce yourself, sir.
I'm Jay Yoder. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. So firstly, thank you for coming on. Because I just out of the blue emailed you and said, hey, I know a guy you know. Why don't you come on my show?
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. I've been doing a lot of podcasts. I've really enjoyed them. And it's, you know, so we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I'm down with it. Did you get to listen to any of our stuff before you started?
I have. I listened to a couple while I was on the road the last couple of nights.
Oh, cool. What do you think? Like?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
a fan. It would have been better if you were like, no, this is a piece of shit.
I think my wife's calling me. I got to go, guys. So.
You're like, I just came on to tell you how fucking terrible you guys are. Yeah. Give it up.
Peace. End the call. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah. I got an escaped convict running around my backyard. That escaped convict's like literally in my area. So
I was going to say, ladies and gentlemen, he's not joking. That's not part of the joke.
Yeah. Unfortunately for the police, this will air like a week later. So,
you know, well, this is crazy?
Hopefully he's been caught.
No, I was going to say, this is going to date the time of like when we're airing this, because like, it's so funny how like, you know, oh, he's got a duffel bag. He sighted on a trail cam. Oh, he's got a truck. I'm like, what's next? Is he gonna like? Is he getting a tank? Like, is this GTA? Like, what the fuck's happening right now?
He got an entry level job at a Fortune 500 company, but he's moving up fast.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the reboot of Secret of My Success with Michael J.
Oh my god, classic
throwback.
You know what would really worry me though, because you have a backdrop there. If behind the backdrop, like in V for Vendetta, the thing with the Guy Fawkes mask just pulls his thing back and looks, and it's like the convict, and I'm like, Jay.
Nope, I mean, it's going to be too late. I'll be gone. It is a little nerve-wracking, though, because you don't want to be over crazy about it, but at the same time, it's like, they're just little things. I'm like, we're getting back from dinner, and I'm like, all right, I'm like making sure all the girls are in front of me. I'm like looking around. I'm like, who knows? I mean, you know, you never know.
Yeah, right.
The beauty of our state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my wife was telling me that like apparently she heard that he had broken into somebody's house like in their basement, and they like flicked the lights on and off, and then like they left them off, and then the lights just like flicked back on, and they're like, okay, yeah, he's in here, but like nothing ever came of it. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's hey, frightening as hell.
Do you want a tuna sandwich? Yes. We're making tuna.
There's leftovers.
It's like when you have a mouse, like, you know, there's a mouse. You're not prepared to do anything about it. You're just like, stay in the corner. We're cool.
Now I have to Google what I have to do to get rid of this convict. I can't use decon anymore. Yeah. Not humane.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Can I get 5,000 glue traps?
Calling my Ehrlich guy. I'm like, listen, you're never going to guess what I got in the basement. You got to come out here.
Can we Tom and Jerry a convict? Can this happen?
You run down and just hit him in the head with a frying pan, so it's the shape of his head.
He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
And then he looks at you and he like grabs a blowtorch and just blows your face off. That's Tom and Jerry to me.
You just walk downstairs, open up a jar of peanut butter, and leave it there with a bunch of traps around it.
This would be a great Roadrunner sketch. This would be great. He's just Acme's throwing everything at him. Wile E. Coyote just can't get him.
You order a fake wall door, so he thinks he's going to get out, and he hits it, and then just he looks down, and then he falls down the steps, and you're like, I got him! Oh, man.
Run some dynamite with one of those plungers.
we've got great ideas.
Remember he had the train thing? And he went off the track and he kept going and he just kept going straight. Here's what I never understood about that cartoon, okay? All the times the coyote got caught in that situation, right? You'd think he would just ignore the fact that he had lost the track and just kept going, because he might make it to the other end, because he only falls when he pays attention to falling. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you get down
it's
to
a,
the middle.
It's a metaphor about believing in yourself.
Yes, see? I knew there was a reason my parents let me watch those cartoons.
I just know it because think about it, right? My two favorite things about that were that aspect. I'm like, if he just keeps going, he's going to make it to the other end. He'll be fine. And I was like, Coyote, like, just believe. Don't look at the dynamite. Yeah. Just look away and just keep going and you'll be fine. The second you acknowledge that it's lit, you're blowing up, dude. And Daffy Duck being on cocaine. Those were my favorite parts.
The tunnel, and then it would, like, the train would actually come out of it. Like, that's my well, I forget the name. What was the one where it was the two that were, like, the dog and the wolf or whatever, and they would, like, clock in every day? Like, they were.
Yeah, it was Ralph and I can't remember the other one.
It was supposed to be like the Honeymooners. Yeah, it was Ralph and I forget the other thing's name, but I know what you're talking about. Where they clock
I just love that concept. They're like, yeah, we're just clocking in. Okay, now we hate each other.
That's
I love it. Funny.
The cartoons we grew up with were like a cocaine fever dream.
Oh my god, are you kidding me? Daffy Duck, dude. I'll tell you the one that to this day still is like crazy. Is Daffy goes into a fucking hospital and pretends he's a doctor, and they don't notice that a duck is wearing a fucking doctor's outfit and performing surgery.
Did he have a lab coat on?
Oh, yeah.
Then I wouldn't notice. Yeah. That's it. That's all you need.
But he's like performing surgery. I'm like, he didn't get checked in. They didn't check his credentials. They're just like, oh, doctor, you're here. Cut this guy open. He's got appendicitis. He's
like, I feel like that's how it worked back in the day, though.
Maybe when Daffy was running. Was going, but I was like, dude, because it's such a strange thing to see him now, like, because he became such a cynical dude. And I'm like, is that because of all the cocaine that he did when he was a young duck?
A young duck.
This, like, cynical, angry duck.
I feel like he became such a cynical.
Like, nothing would ever be greater than his cocaine high. So now he's, like, this cynical, like, everything is stupid. And I'm like, dude, what happened to happy-go-lucky Daffy that hit himself in the head 70 times with a hammer and didn't get hurt?
And didn't get hurt.
Who's your coke, Daff?
Well, you know, our shared friend, Dan DePriel, he does a joke about how if you try to explain to the younger generation, like, our cartoons of, like, the 90s, especially, then, like, they sound like old time racial slurs is his premise. And he's like, and then he just goes, he's like, uh-oh, don't look now, but we got some Darkwing Ducks moving into the neighborhood.
Oh my God.
That guy looks like a freakazoid. He's probably peddling that Fraggle Rock on the side. It's like, and he's just got like 15 different tags of all of these. It's hysterical.
That's perfect. It's funny. This is why we're talking about cartoons, because, like, so, like, Jay, you're a teacher, right?
I am.
Okay. So my funniest, because I'm a teacher as well. I've been doing it for 7 years. And my funniest classroom story is my first year teaching, and it involves cartoons.
Was it a duck on cocaine?
This no.
is fucking amazing.
I mean, I really wish it was.
Duck in, it snorted cocaine, and I said, this is not how Daffy works. Real life doesn't go this way.
I had a kid come in his last class of the day. He comes in hype as shit, and he's like, mister, you gotta answer a question for me. I was like, what is it? It's before class started, and he's like, all right, who would win in a race, the Flash or Meat Meep? And I'm like, Meat Meep? And he's like, yeah, Meat Meep. And I'm like, who or what is Meat Meep? He's like, you know, the bird with the wolf. It's dropping shit on his head all. And he's like 14. He's ninth grade. He's like dropping shit on his head all the time and blowing him up and shit. And I'm like, oh, you mean Roadrunner? And he's like, yeah, Meat Meep. And I was like, no. His name's Roadrunner. So then we got into an argument about the name, and we lost track of the original argument. But, like, that was the funniest. I will never forget that he genuinely thought the character's name was Meat Meep.
You remember there were cars? They had, like, I don't know who made it, but there was a Roadrunner car, and it actually, I think it had the logo of the Roadrunner on it. You guys seen this thing? Or am I crazy?
I've never seen it, but I think you're right. I think there was one.
I don't know who made it, but it always was like, that was my favorite. That was like, that character to me was like emblematic of my childhood. Like, The road run, that Rose Roadrunner, that was what you're waiting for, because it was always like a melody of the different characters. So you're like waiting to see which one was coming next, and you knew there was always going to be a Roadrunner on. Like it was like our Itchy and Scratchy, you know, it was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right, and because I mean Bugs was cool, but like sometimes Bugs was like not interesting to episodes.
Yeah.
The only times I really was really interested in Bugs was when he crossed over with other characters. When he would be fucking with other characters. So like when he was fucking with Yosemite Sam, like that was great.
Yeah.
Those were my favorite episodes. Cause I was like, cause he's going to win, you know, he's already smarter. And then, but it's like the Roadrunner, I would always wait. I love the Roadrunner. I was like, oh man, this is gonna be so good. Cause you knew the coyote would just never get him, but it didn't matter because you just wanted to see what kind of crazy shit he was going to try. Like I remember when he bought that rocket and he built the rocket. By the way, probably the smartest fucking character in the entire Looney Tunes canon. He was a fucking scientist. He made fucking concoctions out of like chemicals. He was a chemist. He built all that shit and it worked.
That's called a terrorist, Jimmy.
Yeah. He did all that stuff and it worked until he tried it on the Roadrunner. Like, imagine if he was just like, step back and he was like, I mean, granted, he's also a coyote, so he doesn't really talk, but like, imagine if he just thought to himself in coyote speak in his head. He was like, man, I just made like a formula that makes rocks disappear. Like, I could market this and become a millionaire. What do I need this one fucking Roadrunner for? I can breed Roadrunners and kill them at will. Like, why am I chasing this one motherfucker?
What a dark series, though, where like he starts breeding Roadrunners just to murder one ritualistically every night.
What if they did it like they did with what's that show with the Archie where they did Riverdale and it was way darker, but they did Looney Tunes and it's like Porky like has an eating problem, but Daffy's always over there, like Daffy's a recovering coke addict like detective, and he's over there trying to get Porky out of his like big fatness, and then Bugs is just like the fucking mayor of the town. And he knows that stuff is corrupt, but he just like slicks through everything. Oh man, we totally should do this. Looney Tunes fucking dark.
Just Looney Tunes dark.
Yeah, the real
holy shit.
Marvin the Martian and Wile E. Coyote team up as terrorists. It'll be like 24, but like only with like cartoon characters. Oh, there it is, dude. That's the premise. 24 with cartoon characters.
Wile E. Coyote becomes a domestic terrorist like the Unabomber.
Yeah, and we find out the real 9/11, what happened.
He recruits like other cartoon characters that are like Foghorn Leghorn and like Tom and Jerry. Like he recruits them as his terrorist cell. And like they like all you see is like Tom like makes big mouse holes in walls and he like forces people to run through them.
This would be like when I used to love wrestling growing up. And like, then I watched the movie, The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. And it was like watching Santa be unreal in a moment in your eyes. And I mean, that's what this series sounds like. It sounds like how I'm going to feel when I watch The Wrestler for the first time. And it'd be like, I was outside waiting for an autograph. And he was like that in the locker room. Oh my God. Like, that destroyed my whole childhood. That's what we're doing here. We're destroying our childhood right in front of our eyes.
I had a different experience with The Wrestler because it actually took place in a store that I worked at. It was an Acme.
Really?
They didn't get the proper paperwork signed to not be in it. So when he cuts his hand and he bleeds all over, that's an Acme. And I work for Acme now. And I think it's great that they were that fucking dumb that they didn't sign the right paperwork to not get their name like plastered all over the movie. And they tried to sue the movie, but they already turned in the paperwork that was needed without the signature, like, don't put our name of our company in there. And I was just like, I was like, oh, that's great. Yes, it was depressing to see the wrestlers and think about like every wrestler I've ever loved. Like, especially when you go to conventions now and you see them and they're older, they're like, if they're not completely decrepit, like they're like, you're like, something's going on. Like I met Rob Van Dam and Jerry Lawler and they were both really, really cool. Jerry Lawler actually had the coolest comment ever. Do you guys want me to tell the story? Okay. I'll tell the story. So it was Comic-Con. It was New York Comic-Con. I went up and I was like, I got to meet Jerry the King Lawler. Like the guy is one of my heroes. Like he's just such a fucking legend. So We get up, I pay for the autograph, and I'm like a little kid. I'm like giddy. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so cool. So I go up to him and he's sitting down, and I said, all right, Mr. Lawler, can I get an autograph and a picture? And he goes, absolutely, sit down. And I'm like, oh, perfect, dude. Seats are awesome. Fat guys love sitting. And I was totally being serious because I'm totally not self-conscious about my weight. And he looks at me and he says, who am I filling this out to? And he goes, I said, Jimmy Mack. And he goes, to my friend Jimmy Mack. And he writes like a paragraph to me. And I know that it was probably like a paragraph that he's wrote to a bunch of other people, but like the fact that he took the time to write it out, handwrite it in front of me, was just like, I was like, that's that little extra. Then that's he leans it. Over to me, puts his hand on my shoulder, he takes the picture, and he goes, hey, listen, next time, I'm trying to remember the exact comment that the exact quote that he said, but he goes, next time you come up to it, don't say fat. Say nutritionally underwhelmed. And I was like, that's fucking amazing. Not only did you trump my joke that I made, but you didn't bust me out with it. Like, you didn't diss me. You added a better joke so that we could all laugh at both. I was like, that's why he's the fucking king.
That was a really nice story. I thought it was going to get weird and dark.
No. It was just
where he's going to like pull you in and be like, next time you have to suck my dick. No. But
next time you better bring those pills or I'm going to fucking steal your fucking turkey.
Murder your family.
But like, that, no, he, but he was totally cool. He was like, you're nutritionally underwhelmed. And I was like, everyone around was just like, oh my God, that's so good. So, and then Rob Van Dam was like right behind him. And then I turned around and met Rob Van Dam and he was just as cool. But it was like those two guys, like they still look good. I've seen other wrestlers that don't look as good that I've tried to get autographs for. And I was like,
Did you watch any of the A&E like biographies?
Yeah. The Macho Man one was crazy.
Oh my God. And then wasn't there a documentary with Jake the Snake?
Yes. It was, that was when he was all whacked out. It's called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. I think it's when Diamond Dallas Page gives him, they do yoga and they get him off of drugs for good. And now he's like completely rehabilitated and he's like, okay. But like at one point he says that he did enough drugs one night to kill an elephant and he survived. And I'm like, dude, Jake.
He's like, I know, I was hanging out with an elephant. He didn't make it.
Yeah. The elephant didn't make it.
Babar died.
Yeah. But that was my child. Oh, wrestling was my thing. Like that, I would go. I went to this. Grew up in Scranton, and we had a place called the CYC, the Catholic Youth Center, and that's where they would come because the Globetrotters, all these. That was like one of the big venues. Had this big gymnasium on the first floor, and then it had other stuff up there, bowling alley, whatever. But I used to go there for an after school program, so they would let me like. My grandfather and I would go and get tickets early. So we'd always get like ringside or down there. It was like, it was awesome. I got to meet them a couple of times. I got to meet up Rick Martel as he was outside, like spray painting his big perfume thing. And
I heard he's cool as shit. I heard he's a really good dude.
He was cool. We did have an issue. They came to our high school one year and apparently they just absolutely destroyed the locker rooms. Like somebody took a shit on the floor. Like, it got crazy, and then they were never allowed.
Wow, the Globetrotters are not the guys I thought they were.
Yeah, right.
You sure it wasn't the Generals, that team that they always play, just trying to set them up?
Yeah, actually, it was a donkey basketball game, and the donkeys were Remember when they used to do that? That's not a thing anymore, but that used to be. That's got to be animal cruelty and all sorts of stuff. But there used to be, like, basketball where you rode donkeys around.
I do remember this. I remember. I never did it, but I remember seeing it. We were just talking about this. I don't know if it was Pete. Was it me and you were talking about this? Did you ever see Cowboy Monkey Rodeo? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever, but it's so tough to see now. So this guy used to come to minor league baseball games and he would have a capuchin monkey that would be dressed like a cowboy riding the back of a border collie that would wrangle sheep. And I shit you not, the monkey would... Pete, am I lying? You were there with me.
No, I was there. I saw it.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Like, I know it doesn't sound that great when I describe it now. It sounds super animal cruelty.
I mean, it sounds like it's cruelty to animals, but it still sounds awesome.
It's amazing, dude. It's amazing. Like, the monkey literally holds the reins of the dog and will, like, pull up, and the dog knows to stop. I'm like, there's no way that the monkey and the dog have that sort of synergy. or they do. And I just can't fathom those two species working together to wrangle up some sheep.
And I do feel like I need to throw a disclaimer out there on behalf of the network and everything. Obviously, we don't support animal cruelty unless it's fucking cool.
That would get the golden buzzer for me on AGT right there. You give me that, I don't want to see your dog jumping around. I want to see that. Yeah.
I don't want to see weird contortionist guy dislocate his fucking shoulder behind his back. I want to see a dog riding a monkey riding a dog wrangling sheep.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't recruit that on there. I would have fucking totally. That would have been a winner. That's why. They would have swept.
They're like, no, it's too much. Simon, well, it's got to be a competition.
Simon would have been like, I like your dog.
Yeah.
Your monkey could use a different pair of chaps, but I like your dog. That's my best Simon. It's just British voice. God. So how did you meet up with Danny?
So Dan and I met just on the comedy scene. We just started going. We'd meet up at a lot of mics, met up. We actually get together and write every week together too during the week. And, you know, we travel around a bit together. So, yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. So I'm with him.
He's a hell of a writer. He's a hell of a writer. He was in my creative writing class.
Such a good writer. Yeah, that's something that we both sort of help each other at. He was just texting me last night because I had my first. Because when you're with somebody you know who's really good at something and you know, you're with them because you also want to be equally as good. And I'm newer to comedy than he was, but I had the first tag that I gave him something. And I was at a show. I went to him. He was opening for a guy named Andy Fiore.
Shit! He was on our show.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
twice. Yeah, he's on twice.
Yeah.
Andy was our first guest. He's a great dude.
Yeah. So Dan and him are really tight. He's opened for him on the road a couple times with like Mohegan Sun and some other places. So I went up to, you know, make the drive with him, and in the middle of it, he actually used a tag I gave him, and it hit probably harder than any other thing he had told that night. And he just hit me up last night. He's like, "Yo, that tag, it's working every time." Like, even if the other joke necessarily isn't that line's delivering, it just feels good when somebody you have a caliber you respect is like, "Oh, they're using something you gave them." You're like, "Fine." Like, just a level of like, you want to feel like you can contribute. Because he is. He's such a great writer. So,
I know you guys do comedy. Did you ever get to read any of his short story stuff?
No, I'm super interested because he does talk. Like, I was super interested about, like, just I never met anybody who had written things like that. And I know he's also done, like, an 8-episode pilot of a cool series that seems like it would be fun that has, like, based in some, like, Renaissance Fair kind of scenario.
Yeah, if it's the one that I'm thinking of, I think he was developing it when we were in school together, and I remember him saying something like it, and I'm like, that sounds like it would be really good, but it could have been something else because he's like me, he has like 9 million ideas, and like the next time you talk to him, he could be working on a totally different project. Because he's like,
that's true. So yeah, I haven't read any of his short stories, but I can only imagine.
Oh yeah, you should see if he has some of them. There was one he did about a guy that spontaneously combusts that was just like so great. And then there was another one, I think it was his story. It might have been somebody else that was just in our class. So we ended up being in class together, and because we were like, I don't want to toot my own horn, right? But we were like the best writers in the class. And like the teacher, she had like her husband got in a really bad car accident. And she was out for a lot of classes.
Wait, Jimmy, did you write a story about her husband getting into a car accident? Are you Angela Lansbury?
Yes, my actual talent is I manifest stories into people's lives.
I was waiting for you to be like, so she's single now, and then.
No, well, so we were like, we had her in a bunch of different classes because for the undergrad and for me, for the master's, I had her on both levels because the classes were the same. They were just a different designation in Westchester. So. But she would just literally email me and Dan what she wanted to do in class and her notes for the stories. And she's like, you guys go, and it was like a 3-hour night class. She would be like, you guys go, just tell everybody my notes, and then you guys can leave if you're done after like an hour and a half. So we would, half the time, we would just go to class for like an hour. We'd be like, all right, guys, let's bang this out real quick and we can get out of here. And then we would go like either get food or we would just hang out and bullshit for a while. But like a bunch of times, me and Dan were just like literally leading the class. Like, all right, who's next? Let's go. What do we got? Constructive criticism. We would just buzz through class. But yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's good peoples, man. I tried to recruit him in the frat. He's like, I got 1 year left. I'm a senior. And I'm like, so do it for the 1 year. I was like, don't be a wimp. And he's like, I don't want to. It's my senior year. And I was like, you're just being a wimp, bro. Yeah, he's a good dude. I reached out to him to come on the podcast, and we were supposed to. We're going to cross pollinate at some point, but he's so busy with all the shit that he does. He'll be like, yeah. And then like,
exactly. Like, oh. I know that is. Yep. Yep.
But yeah, no, that's cool. I can't believe you guys know Fiore, dude. That's so crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, because he and Dan and I were up in New York together for like a week, and he actually ended up running into him over at the Cellar too while he was over there. So yeah, we've been palling around with I was the first time I met Andy, but he was super nice. But yeah, and then we also were with Sean Donnelly. I don't know if you know that name at all, but he's a yeah, I think it was originally Boston, but he's a New York comic now. I think I heard of him. Yeah, he's an old school guy. I've been on Letterman years ago and stuff like that. But, you know, he's more embedded in the scene. Probably not a household name, but like good comic. He's actually going to be in Lancaster. And Dan's actually hosting that show, I think, coming up at the end of the month.
I think we've had a pretty good time.
Yeah, this is very, for me, it was very nostalgic.
Yeah, it's fun, man. We had a blast. This made me feel better. I don't want to kill everybody now, like I did earlier today because of my job. So I feel much better.
So well, that's the art of entertainment. You know, you gotta escape from reality a little while, recharge the battery. I mean, that's how I got into comedy. It was right during COVID because like we weren't laughing and we were like watching. I was putting Impractical Jokers on because it was the only thing that the whole family could watch. And not like be crazy. And I'm like, we need to laugh more. This is like, you know, just that whole, I'd rather do that and entertainment than drugs, you know, or something like that. Like having something where it's cathartic and it's like,
yeah.
Innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild, Jay, because like, I don't know. I think it's cool that like, I don't know. You hear about people that are in lockdown, like fucking making bread and shit. And you're like, no, I'm going to do comedy and then be a comedian. That's rad. I fucking respect to that.
Yeah, I was getting so burnt out from teaching, man. I was lighting myself on fire to keep everybody warm. I was like, everybody was leaning on me. I was burnt out, man. It changed me. So that's like, this comedy saved me, man. That's the only thing I can do now where I'm fully in the moment. And like, I can like shut everything else out and just be. Which school.
And do you have any shows coming up where people can come and check out?
This weekend, well, this is going to air in a couple weeks. I would say check out my website, jyodercomedy.com. I'm with a group called Board Teachers, so I'm doing some traveling. I was in the Midwest for most of the summer. I'm doing some shows in November in Shippensburg, Atlantic City, Poughkeepsie, and somewhere up in Long Island, whatever theaters are out there, boardteachers.com for those.
So is it just like a group of teachers that like travel, do comedy? Is that kind of like the, just like a traveling? Yeah,
they're like this giant, like they started originally as like videos and memes and articles and a website. And it sort of just grew into like creating content for teachers. And it's huge, yeah, because they have like 3 million followers on most of the platforms. Wow. So it's like this, and we, you know, sell out most theaters around. Oh, we just do theater tours now for the most part. I was on a comedy club tour for most of the summer, like the Heliums and Funny Bones, like Indianapolis, Columbus, Toledo.
Nice.
Which was cool. Yeah. So I'm with them, and then I do my own thing. I'm going to be at Church of Satire, which is this cool, small little club in Hanover that's like, just for like a perfect venue. It's like such a small regional venue. It's around nothing else, but it's just cool vibe with a great staff. So that's over in Hanover. So if you're ever in Hanover, Pennsylvania, you should check out Church of Satire. Yeah. And then I'm somewhere everywhere. I'm in New York a couple times a week. I try to make the rounds. I'm somewhere every night. So usually I even if I'm just going to a mic or, you know, showing face up in New York, trying to just make people laugh.
Awesome.
No, yeah, man. And it's, you know, you're good at it. We had a laugh today.
Always a good time. Yeah. I have a couple podcasts. I'm on a podcast called Seriously Dad with another comedian who's also a dad, Albert Davis. So we drop those every Sunday. And then I'm on a podcast that's called Teachers Off Duty, which is just, you know, obviously as it sounds, teacher podcast. So,
oh yeah. Shit, I'm definitely gonna have to check that out because like I haven't like, I mean, every now and then it floats across my social media, like my, you know, and I'm just, part of me is just like, no, I can't, I just gotta keep my life separate. But
it's cool because it's like, we're like, this week we did like reasons teachers quit, last week we did like horror stories from the first week of school, we did like crazy substitute stories. So like every week it's something. I think next week's like the craziest things kids have said, and people send in stories and like we'll read them or add our own. And actually, I had one of my clips went viral. It's at like 7 million views on TikTok, and they ended up writing an article about it. I was walking around at the football game on Friday, and like every 10th kid was like, "That's Mr. Yoder. I saw him on TikTok." And so like, you were my FYP.
What?
Yeah. So it just like blew up last week, and it was just, so it's been crazy. My wife's been getting text messages from friends she teaches with that are like, "I saw your husband on TikTok." So that's cool. It buys me a ton of cred. So I'm famous. So at least to those kids.
you're officially, I have two things that we have to close out the show with.
Okay.
I was getting concerned.
I almost forgot because I was so angry earlier, like, and now I'm calmed down.
That's, I was like, wait, is this not happening?
Okay. So you've heard a couple of episodes, but I don't know if you know our group that we recruit people for whenever they're on. Friends Against Leto.
Friends Against what?
Leto. Jared Leto is our mortal enemy. And anyone that comes on the show is welcome to hate him as much as we do. You don't have to, but if you do, you're welcome in this group. It's open to all people.
Okay. Well, I will say he was not as good of a joker.
There, perfect.
Perfect.
That's good enough. He was a terrible insert everything that he's ever done. And that's my statement on him.
Was he originally in that MTV show? So-called Life.
Yes.
That was his first, was that his like one of his first things, or
that was the thing that probably,
yeah, it was that, like his breakout
that skyrocketed him to mediocrity. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. So yeah, never a huge fan.
Perfect. So you're welcome to the group. Also, you're getting induction into two groups today. You're officially now a brutal dude. So what that comes with is, you, anytime you want to promote anything, anytime you want to come on, reach out to us and we'll reach out to you again, you know, if we have stuff we think you would be good for. But you're welcome to come on anytime. We had a blast. We would love it if you came back, you know, whenever you have stuff you want to promote.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. You were awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we had a really good time. So you're one of the crew now, man. You're brutal.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you guys. You're awesome. Now that I've been on social media and all of this, I know I've been like, I can't watch. I can't tell you the last time I sat down and watched a whole 20-minute sitcom.
I have that. I find that too. But I also find that if I watch shit that I watched before, like not new shit, if I watch old shit that I watched, I can watch it for a lot longer. So like if I were to sit down and watch The X-Files, I could binge a full season in a sitting because I binged a full season in a sitting. But like if I didn't binge it, like newer shows, like I was watching Breaking Bad and it was like I could only watch, it was a great show and I loved it, but it was like I could only watch two episodes and then I'm like, all right, I need to watch something else.
Yeah, and usually it ended up being. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I really don't, because I like, then I would go back and watch old, I started Monday Night Raw from the beginning on the network, and I can watch episode after episode of Monday Night Raw even though I know what's going to happen. Like Jericho just debuted in my universe. Jericho just debuted on Raw, and I'm like, I knew this was coming, but like I was so hyped about it. I was like, yes, dude, Jericho's going to be on. Nobody knows he's coming. And I was like, everyone knows he was on this specific episode because this is 20 years ago.
That was my favorite thing when we had like the video, like there would be video stores near me, like the, and not like Blockbuster. I'm talking to like pre-Blockbuster when it was just like Ron's Pizza was also putting movies on the wall. Right.
West Coast Video.
Yeah, like it was like pre all of that. And there was a couple. We had this one like mom and pop one that had old WWF, like SummerSlams, Royal Rumbles, 1992. And like that would be like, that would be, if I saw that, that was my go to. Cause like you, most of the time, because if I was ever watching it, I had to put it on the squiggly screen and hope it would like break clear so I could hear and see something. Cause I never got to see those parts. Yeah. So like for me, it was like, oh, I got, even though I had known what happened, I still wanted to like watch it. And like, those are my, I mean, I could binge watch like old, you know, 1999, anything WWF. Like,
all the Rumbles, dude, every Royal Rumble, I could just watch over.
That was like, that was like the one, if nothing else, like that was the coolest. Cause it was just so different.
Never knew who was going to be there. Like I remember the one year, I want to say it was probably like 93. And it was like Ric Flair, Piper, Mr. Perfect, Hogan was in it, like Sid Vicious. I'm like, dude, this is literally every great wrestler that was like from my era, like all of my favorites just popping in and just, they come out, you hear their music, you're like, oh shit, there he is.